Now, the plans of the godly are just, the advice of the wicked is treacherous. And you can have people, even in the church, and they can be wicked. And their advice is treacherous. I can give you an example. I've told some of you before. I know that sometimes the lack of knowledge is our worst enemy. But I can remember this couple. When I was in New York flying for Seaboard World Airlines, I was a Christian, and of course I wore my Christianity out there on my sleeve so everybody would know that I was a Christian. I was always talking about Jesus. So one day this couple, they had been married about, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, and they had 1 or 2 children. And they came to me and said, "Thurman, my wife's pregnant again, and we really don't want another child. Do you think it would be okay if we got an abortion?" How many of you know we can make bad mistakes? See, I didn't have any idea the advice I give them was wicked. Because I told them, well, if you don't want the baby, since abortion is legal, I guess it would be okay to go ahead and have an abortion. Now, see, I know now that was wrong. But then I didn't know it was wrong. Did I give them bad advice? Yes. Have I had to ask God to forgive me for that? Yes. Because I was an accomplice to murder. But see, back then I didn't know that. I did what I thought was okay. Now, how many of us have been guilty of things like that, similar? I mean, we've all been guilty of giving bad advice. We do what we think, and they came to me because they thought I was godly and I would give them the right advice. But I've had to repent. And of course, I know when I repent, after I found out the truth years later, and I repented and asked the Lord to forgive me, every time I even think about an abortion or hear somebody say something about abortions, that just comes right back up. Lord, I'm so sorry. I gave them the wrong advice. You know what the king says? What are you talking about? I don't even remember that. You know, you asked forgiveness for that before. I mean, I put it as far as the east is and the west. What are you doing? I don't know about that. You know? Isn't it good that when you repent, He forgives us and puts it as far as the east is from the west, and He never remembers that sin again? I am so grateful. But I have to say, right there, I was supposedly the most godly young man in that group of people, but I gave them advice that was wicked and treacherous because I didn't know. It says the words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly saves lives. See, I didn't meet the criteria. I was a wicked person, although I was a Christian, and my words were like a murderous ambush. That little child lost its life because of me, the decision I made. If I'd have told them, no, that's wrong, they would have had that baby. That little guy would be alive today. But I didn't know. I didn't know. Wow. But if I had have been godly and had known the truth, then I would have been able to save that little life. That's why we needed a Savior, isn't it, Deborah? Because every one of us in this place has made a mistake of some kind. And probably none of us have fell short of murder. Because God says if we get angry with someone, we're guilty of murder. You know, so none of us I know have ever been angry at anybody. Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. Okay, so we're all guilty of murder. The wicked perish and are gone. Now, I don't want to make many of those mistakes, because if I make many of those mistakes, he says the wicked perish and are gone. Now, then, I didn't realize that when I was making the wrong decisions and doing the wrong thing, and I'm wicked, I'm slowly but surely taking my life. I'm shortening my life. The wicked perish and are gone, but the children of the godly stand firm. Now, if a man and a woman of God really stand firm all of their life, the Lord says, your children will stand firm. They won't go the way of the world. You know, when I see somebody said, well, you know, Jack, he was raised in a godly home. His daddy was a deacon in a Baptist church or some church. He was a deacon in a church, and his mother was a Sunday school teacher and everything else. But He didn't go right. He's out there in the world living like the devil. I'm going to guarantee you, I can go back to that home. If they'll share the truth with me, I'll find out where that mother and father went wrong. They might have been a deacon in the church, might have been a Sunday school teacher, but something they done wrong. And that child at home saw it and knew it. You know? I mean, you can take a man and a woman that would be screaming and fighting and kicking on the way to church. And he's a deacon, she's a Sunday school teacher, and the kids are sitting in the back seat. They're listening to fighting about a bill or something. They get to church and open the door, and they're still raising their voice and turn around, and here's another godly couple standing here, and, oh, how are you today? We're so glad to be at church. Life is so wonderful. No, they were just fighting. Now, the kids saw the whole thing. You see where I'm coming from? And you want to know, those kids see a double standard. And so you want to know why they go wrong? Hey, who needs Christianity? That's the way it is. I don't need that. I'd just soon be in the world. And that's why your kids go wrong. The wicked perish and are gone, but the children of the godly stand firm. If you are godly through the whole thing, and you stand firm and teach your children godly principles and read the Word to them, your children will stand. Aren't we grateful for these promises? Yes. Everyone admires a person with good sense. Boy, is that a fact. But a warped man is despised. Lots of people have those warped minds. And I tell you, I had a whole lot rather be around somebody that's nice and solid in the Word than somebody that's got a warped mind. And they're sitting around talking to me about doing something wrong or evil or whatever, or using all kinds of foul words and everything. I don't like to be in the presence of people like that. So anyway, 9 and 10. It is better to be a nobody with a servant than to be self-important but have no food. That's true, isn't it? It is better to be a nobody. Well, you know, Jesus had something to say about that in the New Testament. He tells us when you come in, are you supposed to take the best seat or the worst seat? The worst. That's right. You're never to sit in the seat of honor. In other words, if we got one chair sitting right here beside the podium and they say, this is the seat of honor. Now then, who's supposed to sit in that? Whoever it was dedicated for. If you weren't dedicated to sitting that, where should you sit? Anywhere else, but not in that chair. Because the Lord says, if you come up here and sit down in this chair, and everybody knows this is the seat of honor, and I walk up to you and say, but that seat's reserved for somebody else. Would you please take a seat somewhere else? It really makes you look bad. You know that? That's why the Lord's... But he gave us that example, didn't he? In the New Testament. But it is better to be a nobody with a servant than to be self-important and have no food. The godly are concerned for the welfare of their animals. But even the kindness of the wicked is cruel. Now, I know some of y'all are laughing because you know... You know something. The godly are concerned for the welfare of their animals. That's not been one of my favorite verses. You know, I am not overly concerned about the welfare of my animals. You know, I mean, I'm not mean to animals. I don't beat them or do anything like that. But I'll tell you what. You take a horse or a cow out on the farm, sometimes you have to get rough with them. I know none, if you haven't lived there, but I'll tell you what, my daughter had a big old high-powered quarter horse, and she didn't ride him for about a year. And he just run out there in the pasture, and he was a big boy. I mean, I bet that booger weighed 1,600 pounds. He was a big horse. He was her playday horse. And, of course, when she got big enough to drive cars, she ain't got time to ride a one horsepower now. She wants one that's got a couple of hundred under the hood, see? So some of you young girls know what I'm talking about. She'd much rather run out there and get that thing, hit the starter and go, than have to go get the... But one day she decided she wanted to ride this big horse. So I told her, I said, honey, you better let me go down there and get him in the lot and let me ride him a little bit. Because, you know, these playday horses are high-spirited machines. And so I went down there, and of course I called him and put some feed, and he come in the lot, and I went and shut the gate, and I went and got the bridle, and I started to the bridle. He's sitting there eating that feed, and he turned and looked at me, and boy, them ears went back. When them ears went back, and then he turned that backside right around toward me. And I said, uh-oh, you don't never get close to a big, powerful horse. You get far from here at that counter from him, and he can kill you with one of them hoofs. He can kick that far. So I let him go back to eating, and I started to walk around this way. When I did, man, them ears went back down, and he swung that rear end again. I said, okay. I said, you hadn't been rode in a year. You don't want to be rode now because you haven't forgot. So I went over there, and I got a big strap that had a big steel buckle in the end of it about that big. It was about 8 feet long. I walked into the lot with that in my hand, and as soon as I started to walk toward him, back those ears come. And he slung that rear end around to me. When he did, I come around like this, and I come over the top, and I hit him right between the hips, knocked his feet completely out from under him. He fell plumb down on the ground. That steel buckle on the end of an 8-inch deal, it knocked fur out of his backside when I hit him. But when he got up, he turned around and come over and put his head in the bridle. I said, you knew what I wanted, didn't you, big boy? And I said, I want you to know I'm still in control here, not you. But see, I was concerned about his welfare, but that beast would have killed me. See, you have to know what you have to do to an animal. If you haven't ever been around horses or cattle, you need to be careful because they can hurt you. They can kill you. You know, I can think about an old farmer like me. He was about my age now, and we thought he was an old farmer. And, of course, he's out there getting a bunch of calves in the lot one day to take them to the sale, and they're 400, 500, 600, 700, 800-pound little steers and so forth. And he's getting them in there, and he gets them up there, and all of a sudden he thinks he's got them up going toward a trailer, and he steps down, and one of them big ones starts to back out. And when he does, he looks up, and he's right there. And he hits him right like this and knocks him down. Well, that big beast just kept coming backwards right out over and stepped right in his stomach and everything else. And then when he did, he's hurt. He's laying there. The whole herd came out of the trailer and run right over the top of him and killed him.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.